Track 16, The View from the Top. In the heart of Norwich, a city garden clings precariously to the side of a hill.
When Noel Coward pronounced, "Very flat, Norfolk," he had clearly never encountered Kett's Hill. John and Anne Farrow's house and garden sits on the side of the hill, just below the southern spit of Mousehold Heath, with a view across the city to the cathedral and beyond. The plot angles steeply upwards, the driveway running precipitously down from house to roadway with a sheer drop to one side. The garden is terraced into two levels below the house, with vertiginous steps connecting them. "You have to be quite careful with what you plant here," says John, with characteristic understatement. "When you do plant something, you have to get a big stone or a tile or brick in front of it to hold the soil until it gets established. I tried to grow veg when we first moved here," says Anne. "It was impossible." On the plus side, the garden faces more or less due south, sheltered from the cold northerly winds, and the slope means that frosty air tends to roll on down the hill. This microclimate accommodates borderline hardy plants, Pizziporum, Gaura lindheimerii, and many salvia cultivars. "I love salvias," said Anne. "They grow in our poor soil. I don't have to water them, and they are so long-lasting. Peter Vigian has been flowering now for around 6 weeks. The house is a Victorian delight, complete with an ironwork veranda looking out towards the city centre. Behind it, a bank rises steeply towards the heath and the former Britannia Barracks, now Norwich Prison. The house was built in 1886, explains John. "We think it was part of the military housing because I found the remains of a plaque in the garden which reads, 'The General's Buildings, 1854, and Lieutenant General R.H.' John believes this refers to Major General Sir Robert John Harvey, 1785 to 1860, of Mousehold House, who fought under Wellington in the Peninsular War. When the couple moved here in 2003, both the house and garden had fallen into disrepair. After rebuilding the retaining wall at the back to ensure that the hill didn't come down to meet them, and widening the driveway to accommodate modern car sizes, John and Anne turned their attention to the garden. 'It was quite Victorian,' remembers Anne. 'It was nice, but dark, completely enclosed with a lot of struggling fruit trees, a lot of bamboo and ferns. There were trees that had fallen down and brambles all over the place,' adds John. "Initial tasks including clearing these and digging out the giant bamboo which had run extensively underground. 'That was hard work,' says John with feeling. 'And thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was gardening with a pickaxe for several days by the time I traced all the roots and dug it all out.' Gradually, the couple wrangled the garden back into shape, adding borders and shoring up the informal terraces, which John describes as dry stone walls, but with bricks and tiles. Meanwhile, Anne had quit her job in Bury St Edmunds as a paediatric nurse and was starting a new career phase as a jobbing gardener. She remembers with affection one particular client, the horticulturist Doreen Normandale, who mentored her in growing for the dry, sandy soil. "She introduced me to salvias and taught me how to propagate from cuttings," says Anne. "And she gave me a lot of plants. Anne discovered by trial and error which plants worked in her garden, including grasses, Stipa tenuissima, periwinkle, Vinca sp, astrantias, lavender and rosemary. Bit by bit, the garden thrived and developed. Then one day, in 2015, disaster struck. Some workmen were clearing the neighbouring site for a new housing project. "They'd just stopped for a break," remembers Anne. "I was indoors, hanging some pictures, and suddenly there was this almighty crash. The Farrow's driveway had disappeared, along with part of the garden. They'd brought the old 8-metre-high Victorian retaining wall down," explains John. "It was amazing no one was killed. If they hadn't been on a break, it would have come down on top of them." The couple's two cars, parked next to the house, were stranded for more than 2 years, and their access to the house was via a muddy path up the garden and scaffolding steps. A protracted legal battle finally resulted in a last-minute out-of-court settlement. The driveway was rebuilt, and gabions were installed to retain the side of the hill. By now, it was 2019. The couple now owned the land, and they considered covering part of the bank with sedum matting, often used for green roofs. "Before we got around to doing it, nature took a hand," smiles Anne. "A blaze of crimson valerian, Centranthus ruber, and purple loosestrife, Lithrum salicaria, appeared. The soil so poor that these native wildflowers prevailed over the grasses. Today, the bank buzzes with insect life, and the couple are assured of some well-deserved peace with no more building projects. They spend most of their time in the garden. 'I'm always out here doing something,' says John." "I love it," agrees Anne. "The first thing I do in the morning when I get up is walk around the garden. When I was nursing, it was what kept me going. It's my passion." Anne Farrow's suggested plants for poor soil: Salvia CV, including African Skies and Peter Vigion. "They grow in our poor soil and I don't have to water, and it goes on and on flowering. Astrantia SP, I love the shape and they do flower for quite a long while. Dahlia murkii, it does really well in sandy soil. Thalictrum flavum, they don't seem to mind the draft. Lavender, Lavandula CV, Allium SP, and rosemary, Rosmarinus CV, also thrive in the well-drained sandy soil."